Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Good morning. For the benefit of our radio listening audience, I want to say that we just watched a video from the YouTube channel, and you can watch the video too. The YouTube channel is Naz Daily, N-A-S Daily. Now, Naz in Arabic means people, and it is also the name of the YouTuber we just watched who makes videos explaining how travel can change us. It can change us because it introduces to us a larger worldview. And by a larger worldview, I mean it allows me to take in things that already exist and consider them and think about them. For example, diversity is something that already exists. There is absolutely nothing that I can do about it. It's a fact of life. However, I may not notice diversity if I stay in the small village of my own mind. I may not notice diversity if I stick with only people who are very much like me. And I may not notice diversity as a way of life if I'm trying all the time to make everyone and everything fit into neat little boxes. What I will notice, however, is that diversity cannot be eliminated. And the more that I try to eliminate it, the more I try to ignore it, and the more I try to not deal with it, the more frustrated I will become. So saying, I believe in diversity is kind of like saying, I believe in breathing oxygen. Okay. It's not really negotiable. So I can't really say, I don't believe in breathing oxygen. I mean, I can say it, but you see the point, there isn't one. Diversity and breathing oxygen and a lot of other things are already accomplished facts, and we just get to deal with it. It's the way of the creative genius of the universe. Tracy Brown, she is the chair of our leadership council for our national movement. She said, diversity is not the problem. It is the stories we tell about diversity that are the problem. Now, what are the stories that society tells about things like differentness? Well, we can take a look at what happened just a couple of weeks ago. The Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, sued Facebook for letting real estate brokers use personal data to hide housing ads from people of color. In other words, people's housing choices were being limited based on their race, gender, religion, etc. So maybe that's one of the problematic stories that is being told under the surface in society. It goes something like this. We need to build a society that is uniform and predictable because that's safe. We need to build a society that conforms to our preferences. The thing is that when we put effort into building sameness and comfort and uniformity, the natural order of diversity pushes back. And what we build collapses. There's a story in the Bible about that. It's the story of the Tower of Babel. I was in Portland last week with my family, and we all went together to visit the Center for Spiritual Living there in Lake Oswego. And they do things differently there. Their service is 1.5 hours long. You know what? We can't possibly collaborate with those people. There are just too many differences. You know, it's a joke, but you know, it's not that funny when you think about how it's happening in our society, in our nation. The reality is that I felt truly expanded by the differences and inspired by them. In fact, I walked around the social hall and picked up all of the information pamphlets for how they do things there in Portland so that we can learn from the differences and introduce a larger world view of how we might do things. It was exhilarating, really. And the minister there, Dr. David Alexander, who's been here to speak, he gave a stirring message about the Tower of Babel, and it reminded me the story of what happens when we get busy trying to make everyone and everything the same. Here's how it goes. After the flood of Noah's days, now if you know the story of Noah and the flood, think of it as the great starting over, you know, the reset button pressed by the divine. And you'd think after that, everything was sorted out. But no. Here's how it is said in Genesis 11. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. And it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. So let me explain that a little bit. One of Noah's grandsons, Nimrod, he led his people eastward to a land called Shinar to settle in a plain, like a valley, between two rivers that do not mix. They do not intersect. So, you know, when you read the Bible, you've got to look for all of the meaning, right? There's two things to notice right away. First of all, they wanted to settle down. People prefer to settle down and not be disturbed. They prefer to be comfortable. The second thing to notice is the place they chose, a plain between two rivers that do not intersect. And we can take that as a symbol of separation. In other words, they settled in a place of separation. They got comfy there. A place where good and evil, right and wrong, us and them are strictly defined. Do you know any places like that? Well, let's see what happened next. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they used bricks for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Okay, so again, we must look for meaning. What does it mean as a metaphor to make a brick? Well, think of something that is clearly shaped and defined, very thoroughly defined, that we use to build something. You know, like a definition, like a category, like a box to put things and people into. This is this and that is that. And once it's settled, I don't have to change a thing. In fact, I think I will bake them thoroughly so that it is hard like a rock. Then I'll use those definitions and I'll build a case for how things should be, and I'll put an end to all of this scattered thinking and everybody just doing any old thing that they want. Or in a nation or a society, let's get our definitions together and we will get so close to supreme knowledge, heaven, that we won't need the divine mystery anymore, because we will be practically all powerful. And then we will say what gender is, and we will say what marriage is, and we will say what everything is, and we won't pay no mind to what actually is. We'll eliminate the paradox of the mystery of life. So when I heard this story being told, I thought to myself, oh goodness, I think we're living in the land of Shinar all over again. We've settled into a plane of separation, you know, because now it seems to be the thing, if we can just get everyone to vote one way, then we won't need the mystery of diversity anymore, or the unknown. We won't have to tolerate the ambiguous. We won't have to include those others, you know, because we'll be all powerful, and we will have made a name for ourselves, Democrat, Republican, progressive, whatever it is, and we'll eliminate the inconvenience of people who don't fit in. Do you know that you can't do that in relationships? I mean, if you're in relationship, you probably know that you've got to learn a lot about differences. It's one of the things Kevin and I discovered, you know, is that when we disagree about our differences, there are options. We can retreat into our corners of rightness and advocate for getting our way, or we can negotiate, you know, negotiate a compromise that feels more like a win-win than a win-over. You know, negotiate a solution that feels more like inclusion. We're learning that. Let's look at some definitions. Diversity is the reality of life and relationship and people. And inclusivity is the practice of opening up to what actually already is. And the stumbling block, the challenge, is comfort. And the cure may very well be curiosity. And we're going to come back to that. But first, I want to confess. I do love to be comfortable. Don't you? You know, I confess. I like things to be the way I like them. You know, I've spent half a century getting my life just so. And then along comes Kevin with his little dog and his loud music and his opinions and his ideas and his ways. You know, maybe that's why I'm teaching a class coming up in May about embracing change. You know, it's for me. I mean, you know how it is. The moment you get the pattern down, it changes. Look, today there are people sitting not in their correct seats. I see you. Why is it like this? Maybe because diversity is the reality, the divine reality, and there isn't a one-size-fits-all, and change is the way of the game. And if you're not one for taking classes, you know what? You might consider attending our diversity discussion group, which takes place today, I believe, right, Reverend Tarr, at 1:30. And it's open to all. And this is a place where you might be able to discuss and explore what is the journey of a person who comes to a conclusion that is vastly different to my own? Have you ever met anybody whose conclusion is vastly different to your own? No? I have. I mean, let's put aside politics for a moment. Let's put aside ethnicity, sexuality, and gender just for a moment. And let's talk about essential oils. Yeah, it's important. Essential oils. You know, aromatherapy, you know. Because when Kevin and I met, I did not think it was going to work. Because he studied the English method of essential oils, and I come from the French school of essential oils. And the two do not intersect. Like the two rivers in the story, they do not mix, and one of those schools is correct, according to both sides. And I remember one day, we really got into it. Oh, I remember the feeling inside me, the anxiety as everything was closing down in me. It was a very intense discussion about the correct use of essential oils. And I thought to myself, this is a fundamental and irreconcilable difference. I mean, for God's sake, why do some people think like that? And I remember feeling, oh, and I thought, you know, he must be thinking I'm such an idiot because I was really into it. But at the same time, I realized he needed to be brought to see the light. Have you ever found yourself in a place like that? About really important things? I know I have, and I know that in those moments when my goal is to get other people to surrender to my way of thinking, that what I'm really doing is baking bricks and building a tower so that I can be as good as God in my righteousness. Here's what the rest of the story of the Tower of Babel tells us. You can be sure, it says, that every brick of conformity that you bake will crumble. And every pattern that you insist on will have exceptions. And everything that you think is so, somebody thinks isn't. And everything you feel strongly about to your core, someone feels differently about. Now, since I'm confessing, I'll tell you, did you know that I used to have a very clear opinion about couples with a large age difference between them? Was a very well-baked opinion, you know. You might say I was a little rigid, judgmental about it. Then I met Kevin. Awkward. Because you might know there's quite a big age difference between us. You know. Oh, dear. So I could feel the dissonance in me. So I contacted one of my colleagues that I really respect. You know him, Dr. David Ault. And I said to him, you know, I'm going to just tell you, I don't know if my community will be okay with it. And he's like seeing right through me. He's like, are you okay with it? You know, I was projecting it on the community. You see what I mean? And he said to me, besides, would you want to be part of a community that wasn't okay with it. Oh, he worked me. You know, oh my goodness, I had to be okay with the things that I previously said are not okay. This is the way of things. You know, life is the curriculum. Back to the story of the tale, because what happens next is truly fascinating. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which they had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people and they have all the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come. Let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. Well, it sounds like the Lord took it personally and panicked. Sounds like the Almighty was being petty, which is not consistent with the nature of the all-knowing mind of creation. So we must find another meaning in it. And the meaning is hidden in plain sight in the language. Did you notice it says, come, let us. Plural. We can take that to be the symbol of diversity. The voice of God revealing the many contained in the one. Diversity is the divine reality. And everything built up in the name of uniformity gets to meet diversity, and guess which one wins? The Lord said, come, let us. Let the reality, the divine reality of diversity, confuse the uniformity. Now, why? Why make them speak different languages? Why make all the people so different in every way? Well, here's one idea. Because the all-knowing mind of God, divinity, hears our intention, the intention of our hearts, and then gives us the curriculum to achieve it. And the intention, if you remember in the earliest part of the story, of the people was to attain divinity. And so the divine said, okay, here's how you do it. Want to know me? You want to know the mystery of oneness? Then get to know each other in your differences, because that is where I am. And then you will discover that oneness is not sameness. Do you know that the Quran answers the question of why? Why did the Almighty create us with so many differences? By saying this, that ye may know each other, not that you may despise each other. Now, Tracy Brown, who we heard from earlier, she also said that ignoring the beauty and the value and the uniqueness of all the different types of people is just like ignoring the way the divine shows up as humanity. And we don't do that with dogs or flowers or trees or clouds, or spices, or nature, or art. So why would we do it with humanity, ethnicity, genders, religion? You know how Dr. Ernest Holmes, our founder, said it? So beautiful. He said, behind all there is a unity, through all there is a diversity, and saturating all is a divinity. Behind all is a unity, through all is a diversity, and saturating all is a divinity. Now let's go back to that piece I said we'd go to. Diversity is the reality, like breathing oxygen is. Inclusivity is the practice of going with the flow of that reality. The downfall, the challenge, the obstacle course is the pull towards comfort. And the cure may very well be to develop curiosity. Now, After Easter, which is next week, and the One Heart Choir is singing at Easter, it's going to be terrific. We're going to look at that piece, the practice of inclusivity. Because did you know that diversity can exist, as it does everywhere, without there being a conscious practice of inclusivity? And so we're going to look at that. And we're going to consider how being curious can help us develop a deeper practice of inclusivity. How can I become more curious, especially about the journey of people whose conclusions are radically different to my own? That's going to be good. There was not a movement in the audience. Not a movement. Okay? Well, I'll be there. And I look forward to talking to myself about it. I invite you to take a deep breath in with me and to exhale, letting your eyes close. As we let our attention turn to that presence within, which is the unity behind all things, and from the one, the diversity that expresses itself in and through all creation, I honor that, I acknowledge that, as the divinity that saturates all things. And in this moment of prayer, I consider that to be true for me and for all people. And so I bring my awareness, my thoughts and my feeling, my heart and my soul and my body into acceptance of the divine reality in a conscious way. And so I am allowing a larger worldview to make itself available to me so that I may become aware of the ways in which I can include more of the richness and differences and beauty of this creation that is so holy. I am letting any structures that I've built up crumble under the beautiful instruction of divine diversity so that I may walk through this world with more fluidness, a greater feeling of connection, and more delight in the truth. I celebrate this and give thanks. And I feel wonderful, even in advance, knowing that this inner work that I am doing, that we are doing, is building a different experience for all sentient beings, all of creation. And so it is. It is time for our offering, and I invite the ushers to stand while you prepare your gift. Before I do that, I want to say what a lovely experience we had last night. Thank you, Reverend Tara. We had a community seder here, and it was officiated by Rabbi George and Rabbi Stephanie, and they said to me, we feel at home here. Now, that's a fulfillment of our vision. So last night we were Jewish. Next week we're going to be full on Christian. The week after we're going to be, we'll find out. We're going to be something. You know, we'll discover that when we get there. And I mention it because this is the spiritual center that you are building through your contributions and your efforts and your volunteering, but most of all through your heart and your love and your prayers. So I thank you for that. And I invite you now to say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.